that old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak, as they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
Dad will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
Be times hard to control, and you'll find,
and you'll find,
you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again. That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers, coming to you live from the Radio Ranch this Saturday morning, January 6th in the year 2018. Can you believe it? The time has flown by. Here we are in at least another calendar year, and but we'll bring the men on. Good morning, Brother John.
Good morning.
And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And Jason, we'll just turn it over to you to open with prayer, and we'll just go from there.
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we just ask that you guide us and direct us this day, Father, as we go out over the airways. Father, we pray that you just give us the words to speak, Father, the ears to hear, Father. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ over us from the top of our head to the bottom of our feet, and we ask to be forgiven of our sins, known and unknown. We ask that you guide us and direct us in all that we do, and that you bless our hands in the labors that we do. We pray that you strengthen us, encourage us, guide us and direct us. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne today, we lift up John's mother to you, Father, as she's in a situation and could use your help, Father. And we just call upon that almighty physician, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and we ask that you look down upon her, Father, that you identify the problem and that you heal her of that problem, of that infirmity, Father. We just ask that you do the work that needs to be done, Father. We pray for the healing power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to flow through those veins to purify and perfect every cell in that body. We ask that you just do a mighty work. We know that sometimes the doctors think they know things, and we know that you do know all things. And we come before your throne, lifting her up to you, asking for that perfect healing that you have picked out just for her. We ask that you look down upon her and that you remove any satanic assignments to her, Father, that you cleanse her body, that you protect her, that you keep her safe, and that you see to it that there is angel stationed about her, Father, with their swords ready to keep all the demonic forces of hell, spiritual forces of wickedness far from her. We claim these things in Jesus Christ's holy name. And Father, we do pray for your people across this land. We pray that you just allow them to wake up, Father, to wake up to the slumber that they've been in, that you, they can see the things that are going on around us, Father, and that they can fight that good fight. We pray that you stimulate them to be a blessing to your people across this land. We pray that people just desire to be that bright light, to shine forth and share the good news, the gospel that you've given us. Oh, Father, we desire these things, and we desire for your enemies, for our enemies, to be brought down lower and lower, to be off the land or under it, Father. We ask that you see to it that these things take place. In Jesus' holy name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. John, do you have I don't know if you wanted to share a further update with, you know, the remnant tuning in. We did get a prayer chain out yesterday evening, and of course the first one was to pray for your mom, and from that internal bleed.
Yeah, they did some procedures early in the morning, and were able to at least temporarily stop the bleeding. Last I heard from my brother, she's resting comfortably, and but she's still in ICU, and this morning some decisions will need to be made, and if you can just keep her in your prayers, I'd greatly appreciate it.
Amen. Well, we will certainly do that, and I'm sure the remnant will as well. And just praying that we're told to lift our petitions and prayers, our requests and needs and wants up to our Heavenly Father, and we can, and we should, and we do. And our Father is quick to hear and quick to forgive and quick to heal. He sure is. And that's certainly our desire. It is. Well, folks, hopefully you're reading your Bible. We're going to encourage you to read your Bible again this year. We have got the January Bible reading plan out in the Volume 9 newsletter. And based on the calls I've been getting, people have that in their hands and have for a week or so. We've been getting several calls here just about per day on the Bible reading plan, and either people asking for the full plan, or, you know, hey, is each month going to be in the newsletter or what? And so we did things a little different here at the ministry this year. Didn't print up thousands and thousands and just mail them out to everybody. But we did get January in the newsletter that should be in your hand by now if you're on the Dragon Slayer newsletter mailing list. And we send that out free of charge. There's not a big old $5 or $6 or $7 price tag on it like many of the magazines that you see out there. But if you want that Bible reading plan, contact us. We'll be glad to send it to you. We've got it in an emailable format. We can just send it to you real easy that way. And but we do want to encourage you to do that, to read His Word. The Bible reading plan this year, it is a couple chapters in the Old Testament, a couple chapters in the New Testament. It's like a good old standard way to get through your Bible. And it gives you the opportunity really a couple times to get through the New Testament. If you can get through it at least once, then that'll sure be a blessing to you. But it's kind of like groundwork. It's going back to the basics, but many people in this country don't have those basics. They just don't. You know, John, I think about the comments that you've made over the last couple of years of meeting with your Wednesday morning prayer group with some, I guess you'd call them Judeo-Christians, some men that really don't. You know, one thing pops out that didn't understand that Baal was a false god and not just another name for our God. And I've seen some of the same things with this Wednesday morning prayer group here in Laramie as well. And so it is up to each and every one of us to read the Word, to pray for wisdom and discernment, and to learn from the concepts that are in there, the precepts, and to then to apply them in our lives. I know, Jason, you're good to remind us all that, you know, that absolutely we're to read the Word, but we have to apply it. We have to do the things that it tells us to do. And as we're going through the birth pangs, as we are seeing the rampant crime that just continues on, the shootings and the violence, that it's like we're trying to be like France just as hard as we can. Don't give up your guns.
Well, one of the things, there's a couple things people need, and, you know, I wanted to throw this out there to remind people. I was talking with a young man yesterday, and we were talking about, you know, reading his Bible, and, you know, he was talking to me about how so much of it he doesn't understand. And, you know, there's a couple things that you need. We did this, you know, and a lot of it I take for granted because I just was born into it and grew up doing it. But, you know, when we used to have Bible studies when I was very young, and I remember those Bible studies, and one of the things you had your Bible, but you had a notebook, and you had a concordance. And now there's a lot of concordances that, I'll tell you what, are pretty phenomenal. You can get them on, you know, just about everybody's got a smartphone. They got them on a smartphone.
Yes.
It is a very convenient way to do it, but it's still really good to be able to learn how to use a concordance. And I was talking to him, and, you know, I said, you know, do you have a concordance? And he's like, well, no, what's that? And you know, it's you take it for granted, but a lot of people don't know what it is, and it's really something that's, it's really simple, and it's a really neat study tool. You can look up a word in the Bible, you take out any word that you want, you look up that word, and it gives you the meaning of it, and it also tells you that every place that word is used in the Bible, and you know, it's a fantastic study tool. But we always had a notebook. You read in your Bible, you had a notebook, you find a word that you don't know what it means or don't understand, or you think you know what it means but you're not sure what it means, or you have a verse that you don't understand and you want to look that verse up, you know, you write it down. And then you go through and then you look up all the scriptures that, you know, pertain to that and are used in that context. And I'll tell you what, it gives you a lot better understanding of the Bible. You know, a lot of it, if you don't understand it, you're not going to be able to apply it. And, you know, sometimes it's one of those things is you can read something and you can read it and you can read it and you can read it and you can think that you understand what it means, and you really have no clue of what it actually means. So, you know, before, you know, you just sit there and read your Bible and suffer through it, if you're not understanding it, take the time and look it up and understand, get to the point where you understand what it's saying. And then you can apply it to your life and to the lives of others a lot more accurately, a lot better. You know, and you know, that, I mean, that's one of the things. It's one thing if you just sit there and read it all the time, but if you understand it, if you learn to understand it, if you learn to apply it in your life, if it's something that you can, you know, personally apply to your life. And so I would encourage anybody that does not have one, get a concordance. You know, and even if you don't use that, if you prefer to have, you know, use the app on your phone or on your computer, which is what I do most of the time, but get a concordance, put it on the shelf, you know, because, I mean, I think one of these days, you know, we don't know what's going to happen with a EMP strike or anything like that. It'd be something that'd be good to have on the shelf. So I would encourage everybody. I think every family needs at least one of those.
Amen.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else that helps more than anything as a first step, and that's repentance and proper baptism for the remission of sins, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. I know of many people who say that they received a greater understanding when they were reading the Bible after they were repentant, properly baptized, and received the gift of the Holy Spirit.
Amen to that. There is. It's almost like there's, you could almost break it into two different types of understanding at a minimum. And in, you know, almost like a student-teacher role. You know, eventually you hope that the student can become a teacher type of thing. And but you have those scriptures and the way that the word is written for the those that haven't repented yet, those that are just learning and just seeing and reading the story of Jesus, and you know, the just the kind of Jesus 101, the real basics of what the Bible says, and there does seem to be discrepancies. There does seem to be things that contradict themselves. But like you said, John, when you start believing the word and obeying the word, and one of the big things to believe and obey in is baptism for the remission of your sins, for repenting of your sins, and being immersed to be forgiven for those sins. And then, as Acts 2:38 says, receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. Well, then, it is. The word opens up. The word means so much more. There's an understanding that comes. A desire, like you said, Jason, to look words up in that concordance, to see, instead of just to gloss over this, read it like you're reading the morning paper, to actually get into a Bible study, to see how the parables of Jesus are and what they mean and how they apply. And that's one of the reasons I like this year's Bible reading plan, is a couple verses from the Old Testament and a couple verses from the New Testament each day. And many times you will see the story, the parable, the concept, of what's going on in the New Testament having already been talked about in the Old Testament. And it's not that it's changed. It's just that it's being, reiterated. And when you've been baptized, when you want to know more of His story, it's there. It's there. You don't have to tune in somewhere. It's there for you to look at and to read and to understand.
Well, the thing you learn, too, when you start to read the Bible in a year and you make that commitment to read a few verses a day, you'll start to see that God made it. So you can't just read one book and understand the Bible. He'll tie it into other books, and there's different pieces of the puzzle that you need to find, which that concordance will help you with too, just like Jason said. And then by looking at all the different pieces in all the different books, then you start to have a greater understanding of what it is that God was trying to show us and teach us.
Amen. Amen. And if we've ever needed some type of understanding, some type of assurance, the way the world continues to go today, it seems like it is today that we need that. And the wars and the rumors of wars, of course, we've been new administration for a year, but boy, we're just still in Afghanistan, still overseas. Looks like we're the threat of going to war with North Korea is there. Different day, same stuff. We were being threatened with this type of stuff 10-20 years ago. But when we read through the Bible and we understand, not just on the surface that there'll be wars and rumors of wars, but what those things mean and how that applies, and how we are not to fret about those things, but we are to put our trust in our Heavenly Father and in Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and in the Holy Spirit, and have that blessed assurance. And over time and over study, those things start to come, but they don't just jump off the page the first time you open that word. That is for sure.
Yeah, along those lines, I don't know if you guys saw on January 1st and 2nd, but there was a super moon. Boy, if you look out and you see those things, it's like that thing is 10 times the size that it normally is. And
yes,
it's kind of crazy. It seems like we've had more of those than I can remember, or at least I'm maybe more apt at looking for those kind of things. But what I think a lot of people don't understand is here on January 31st is supposed to be an event taking place that only happens every 150 years. And they call it a blue moon, but it will likely look red in some areas because of the total lunar eclipse, which can give the moon a red tinge, giving it the name of the blood moon. Well, the Bible talks about the blood moons. In fact, our brother Tim in Nebraska did an excellent article a couple of years ago regarding the blood moons. And These are significant things. These are the signs in the heavens, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, and it was interesting because that one that we had on the January 1st, it was actually, the name for it was called a wolf moon. Right. I thought that was interesting.
Wow. I can tell you it was big. We saw it here rise and had a pretty clear night, and it was huge. And all night, and even the next morning, it was clear. But got up, of course, before sunrise, and it looked like people had their lights on outside. It was so bright. And you know, these I don't remember, you know, full moons and things like that being named before. You know, like they name storms now, winter storms, but. John, you know, the thought occurs to me as you brought out in some articles last year in newsletters that that since the solar eclipse of 2017, hardly a week has gone by that there hasn't been some sort of, or at least some attempt at, you know, huge loss of life, massive natural catastrophe. You know, looking back on 2017, we had... at one time, there were three major storms bearing down on the United States, major hurricanes, and, you know, had, what, two Category 5 hurricanes hit the United States in the same year, and I don't think that's ever happened till last year. And then the shootings, yeah. And it just was one thing after another. Things, not just the, well, that's life. That's the way things go. But it was one thing after another. And it sure seems that the times are different, that things are changing, things are rolling out faster. I don't really have the words to say what it seems like.
I don't even ever remember. I don't ever remember hearing of that. What's that? What they call the storm that hit the East Coast? I mean, they're saying that was exacerbated by the fact that it hit during full tide. Then it hit during this full moon, or which means, I guess that increases the water levels and stuff. But if you look at the pictures of what's going on, like in Boston and stuff, take a look at Houston, and then imagine temperatures. I've read in New Hampshire, 100 below zero wind chill.
Yeah.
100 below zero. So not only do you have water, 4 or 5 feet, you know, 3-4 feet of water in the streets, which is in the basements, which is in the cars, you know, that are all stuck. Now they're frozen solid. And I got news for you. Most people's furnaces are in the basement. Mm-hmm. And if that basement's underwater, they ain't got no heat. And you know that the electrical's out. And I mean, these are things that we've never seen.
To watch
They're
those videos with
one.
The water coming in, that freezing, it's like a freezing tsunami, too. I think that's what they call
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
Wow.
And it was like 3-4 feet of ice just coming in, I mean, just freezing up, and, I mean, pushing walls in houses and pushing houses over because the ice was coming in so fast.
Wow. I didn't see that, but, yeah, that makes sense. I know that on the lake, if you don't pull your dock out and the things that are in the water... once that ice starts moving, it's the force is just amazing that it can just destroy.
Oh, it just destroys
even concrete piers. Yeah.
Wow.
This new deal that's supposed to take place on January 31st is three separate celestial events: a super moon, a blue moon, and a full lunar eclipse will occur simultaneously on January 31st. And that only happens every 150 years. So there's something significant with that, too, I believe.
Yeah, I think it's very interesting.
Yeah, we're seeing the signs in the heavens. We started seeing that with the eclipse into the fall of last year. And God's story will be told. It is told time and time again. It is. I think it takes away the excuses. You know, it really does.
Yeah, they said even parts of Niagara Falls were freezing. I saw a few pictures of that, and I think that's something that's never happened, as far as I know.
I think some of it froze back in the late 1800s. Not all of it, but some of it did. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's not something that happens every year. You know, you get snow in Michigan every winter. You know, we get it out here. Let me tell you, Savannah, Georgia doesn't get freezing cold temperatures and snow like they did this week every year. You know, North Florida doesn't get snow every year. Growing up in Central Florida, I remember it snowed in 1976, the year the country's bicentennial. And it wasn't a lot, but the place shut down. Schools, no school, no, it just, you know, it is a very rare event when that happens. And they were looking at snow as far down as Tampa. And, you know, from Tampa to the, you know, all the way through Canada with this storm. The times, they are changing.
Yeah, it looks like following the two full moons occurring in January, the calendar month of February will have no full moons. But in March, there will be two full moons with the blue moon on March 31st.
Wow. Yeah, and that's the term, the blue moon is that full moon, usually the second one in a month. And that's where we get the term once in a blue moon. You know, that's just a common term for something that doesn't happen very often. You know, once in a blue moon you get paid back, or, you know, once in a blue moon. But, boy, having these multiple blue moons, multiple second full moons coming per month, that, you know, again, that's designating something different, that things are not just the way they've always been, I guess is the way to say it.
Yep.
Well, Remnant, we do have the phone lines open this morning. If you want to give us a call, we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch on this January 6th, 2018, Saturday morning. The number's 307-745-5913 if you'd like to give us a call. And boy, if you can stay away from the news for 4 or 5 or 6 days or even a week, when you go back and turn it on, it's like, you know, just the same stuff again. It's not... certainly not as encouraging as reading the word when you see the mess that's in the news. And usually I have to call Jason and ask, you know, are we at war with North Korea? Have you heard? Because there's still plenty of bluster going along there.
One of the things I saw in the news this week that was basically all over the place. It was all over. Oh, it was all over YouTube, and it was all over a bunch of these church magazines. And it was a retired priest, and this Catholic priest. He came out and he started publishing a bunch of stuff, and he said hell was invented by the church to control people with fear. And it was interesting because he started doing all kinds of interviews and everything, and basically had all this stuff, had it videotaped, and it just kind of went viral. But that's one of the things that they did was, you know, he said that. He said, I don't think hell exists. I happen to believe in life after death, but I do not think it's got a thing to do with reward and or punishment. And I'm making a lot of waves in the religious. But, it is one of the things that I wanted to bring up is, you know, you can see this. I mean, you know, first of all, he's an antichrist. You know, he's an antichrist. He's he's a son of hell or a twofold son of hell. I don't know which, but I know he's antichrist. He's anti-Christian. And... you know, he's doing this, and, you know, there's a lot of people that are following it all of a sudden. I mean, they're jumping on the bandwagon. And it's like, you know, I mean, first reaction is, do you people read the Bible? Now, I remember, you know, talking with Dad about, heaven and hell. And, you know, we talked about hell, you know, and it, you know, he made it real simple. He says, you know, we don't know a lot about hell, but we do know that it's a hell of a place. And... you know, I mean, I think that that's, you know, pretty much sums it up. We know it's there. I mean, and the Bible talks about it. I mean, the Bible talks about weeping and gnashing of teeth. You know, and it's just amazing how they can just go with whatever direction they want to with religion and control the minds of the people, and the people just love to have it so.
Yep. Yep. Well, guys, we got the phone lines ringing. And let's try a phone call. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers.
Good morning, everybody. This is Suzanne from Frigid, New York.
Oh, good morning, Suzanne. How are you staying warm up there?
Oh, yes. We are staying indoors, most definitely. You know, got to be prepared like every winter. We got 3 degrees here right now in Kent, New York. And it's just... the birth pangs are coming closer and closer, and it's very, very obvious to the ones that know. And also the times, you know, they got shortened. A year flies by like nothing ever before. And, you know, we always heard the older generation talking about, you know, time going by so fast. And it's like, have I reached this point now in my time? But what I find really significant is that even the younger generations, like my children, even in their younger years, they would state, boy, time went by so fast, I've never noticed that before. And coming from younger people, which I've never heard of before, I think that is significant too.
Amen. Absolutely.
It sure seems that way, Suzanne. I know what you mean. I mean, we all are getting older, praise the Lord, but it does seem that way. It just seems that the days, the weeks, the months just are flying by. And then you couple that with, like you said, the birth pangs that are getting closer, the events,
the signs in the heaven, like you mentioned.
Yeah, the things that we are seeing that we haven't seen before. It's exciting times.
Absolutely.
Exciting times
and
to be
a
Christian.
Right. I can't remember, like John mentioned too, the blue moons and all those signs in the heavens being there in even my young adult years. It wasn't like that at all, any place. And I always paid attention to anything in nature. I was brought up by my parents, you know, appreciating everything in nature. And, you know, looking up and looking down, seeing what is all around me. So I definitely know it was never talked about.
Absolutely. And that's what we're talking about, is that now, is that, it, you know, when we read the Bible, when we have some understanding, when we use our concordance, when we have our notebooks, and we do more than just glance at it, we see, and we shouldn't be surprised. We see these things happening, and it's things that we see happening that we have read about in the Word. And so it's
very exciting, that's for sure.
It is. It is.
Yes.
Very much.
And, you know, once you are baptized, you truly have a broader understanding, an easier understanding, I would say. When this happened to me, my children were young, and I homeschooled them both. Our pastor, he had his live broadcast 3 times a day, and the 9 o'clock one here in the Eastern Time, and the noon broadcast, I always incorporated in our homeschooling, and I believe it broadened our minds extensively. That's for sure.
Amen to that.
Still miss them greatly.
Yes. Yes. Yes, we do. Yes, we do. Well, Suzanne, we sure appreciate the call, and
sure.
Know that we're praying for you to stay warm out there, and
Thank you.
So 3 degrees. Now that,
same
that,
for you guys.
It's wintertime, but did
you
guys... Yeah,
my daughter got stuck yesterday with the battery not working full power in her car. So.
Oh.
Yeah,
we've
and Niagara Falls is not completely frozen. It's still flowing underneath the icy walls, so to speak.
Okay.
Wow. I'm an hour away from it.
Okay. Well, thank you so much,
That's
Suzanne.
Good.
Sure. Have a good time.
Okay,
bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless.
Same to you. God bye-bye. Bless.
What a blessing. You know, when you think about that and that you know, here Miss Suzanne out in New York has raised, you know, two fine Christian children. And they're up with, you know, they're of age, and I think they're in their mid-20s now or late-20s. And, you know, the old broadcast, she said, were part of their homeschool. And that has happened all over the country. It really has. Many times we don't realize the influence that our pastor had and continues to have, for sure. For sure. Well,
it's interesting. I found this prophecy from April 15th, 1994. It doesn't say who it was written from, but it sounds like the Lord was speaking through this person. It ties in a lot to what we're witnessing right now, but it says, "My beloved and peculiar treasure, yea, those whom I have redeemed, hear the words of my mouth and the declaration of your God. That which is happening in the United States will astonish the whole world as my full judgment comes upon your land. The erratic weather will be specific judgment on specific areas as to their individual transgression against me. The East Coast will experience the cold breath of my wind, just as they are cold and indifferent to my spirit, so shall they be given to drink at my hand this cup of cold fury. As the inhabitants shake their heads in astonishment, this blast of my wind will bring them to their appointed time of reckoning, as I force them to consider their ways, their lives come to a standstill. The West Coast will burn in its lust with their insatiable desire, and perversions. They will experience great fires and drought. Their cities will go up in flames and their infrastructures collapse. Yes, the great quakes are coming as the earth shudders at their wickedness. The resolute fear and panic will cause great loss of lives." Sounds pretty prophetic to me to what's going on in both the East Coast and the West Coast.
Yeah. You know, once again, setting those record fires out in California. Even late summer, L.A. County was setting fires or having fires and setting records, I guess. Something was setting the fires. But you know, the record fires they were having, and then they've had record fires since then. It does. It just, they've continued to grow, and to get worse and worse.
I read something yesterday that there's been a ton of quakes around Mount St. Helens too. So they're kind of worried about Washington State right now, and so.
I did.
Well, it was interesting. I had somebody that was here, a family. They were living out there in California, working out there when those fires were taking place, and they were within 5 miles of those of the fires, and had all their stuff packed up, ready to evacuate. Where he was working, they had to shut it down for 3 weeks because the air quality was the worst in the world. And I mean, you know, you take that's pretty bad.
He says in China.
and that's what he said. It was worse than China, Japan, at their worst. And you know, he said that you would go out to your vehicle. I tried looking up a lot of stuff, and there's a lot of stuff you just couldn't find. I mean, once in a while you'd see some pictures of it, but he said that there was, he said it took about 15 minutes to get to where the fires were going, and he said it was a battle zone between going to where his apartment was and to, you know, the Walmart. And he said it was just, everything was just completely burned to the ground, and smoke everywhere. You go outside, everything's covered in ash every day. Ash just all over the place, and you know, I mean, you think about the long-term effects of what that's just going to do to vehicles. They say that when a vehicle is exposed to that, you never get it out of an air filter, you never get it out. I mean, that ash is on the roads, it's everywhere, and it's abrasive, and it's going to cut vehicle life down, you know, a fraction of what it should be. But one of the things that was interesting
and human life.
you would go into the Walmart or the grocery store, and everybody's wearing gas masks. I mean, and he said it was not just, it wasn't like, you know, those paper masks that you see, you know, and you occasionally see when the flu's going around. These were full-blown gas masks, and that's how a lot of people,
wow,
the only way that they could breathe. And it was all over the place. And, you know, it was, but at the same time, I tried finding pictures and everything, and boy, they sure never showed that on the media. And he said there was nothing on the media that was actually like what was going on down there.
Wow.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's always, those things don't make CNN, that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, guys, let's try another phone call here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Good morning, guys. You know, regarding that priest or whatever he was that, you know, talking about the no hell,
yeah,
and the church just wanting to control you, well, there's a key word in there that these people, I find them using all the time. It's that word control. The church just wants to control you, or they just want to control you. These people that do this, I see them using that word all the time. And every time I hear them using that word, they want to control you, or that phrase, you've got a man of lawlessness that has a problem with people adhering to rightful doctrine. It's usually someone that is a once saved, always saved, that you just believe and you're in, you're locked in. You know, just one simple phrase out of everything here in Romans 8:13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. It just blows everything apart that they say with that. Oh, they just want to control you.
Yeah, I think
obviously
back to,
you're supposed to get yourself under control through the Spirit.
And that's what people don't want to do. They don't. They want to do anything and everything, you know. But where is it back in I think the Song of Moses, where it talks about, you know, they did that which was right in their own eyes, and we see that a couple times. I think it's there in Samuel or somewhere else as well. I'll have to get my concordance out and look that up. But that's what it is. People just want to do what they want to do, and they want to hear what they want to hear. They want to hear somebody tell them that you can do whatever you. God loves you. You know, you can do whatever you want to do, and there's no repercussions. And that's as far away from the scriptures as you can get. But the you know, there's certain people that their prophets prophesy falsely, and they love to have it so.
And speaking on that, you know, if you watch any of these street ministers on YouTube that are out there, here or there, all over the country, every time you watch them, you get these people who claim to be Christians that come up and say, you're teaching wrong, telling people to not sin in this. God, let me tell you, Jesus is all about love, and you're not preaching love when you're teaching people to stop doing this and stop doing that. You're preaching hate. Jesus was not hate. Jesus was all about love. You just hear that from the whole crowd, one after another, just barking at the poor guy like babbling dogs.
Yep.
Just nipping at him from this side and from that side. It's just sad, you know, and you see hardly a person agreeing with the guy that's teaching them correct doctrine.
Yeah, there again, if they would read their word, and that's one of the reasons we've tried to push that so hard. You know, our pastor would say that from the pulpit. He would say, don't believe me. You go look up up in the Bible and see if this is not what it says. See if this is not what it means. See if we are misquoting. And you couldn't, because he put it out right. But see, the people don't want to do that. They want to worship this false, sandal-wearing, long-haired, hippie, dope-smoking, love everybody Jesus. They can do that, and they do it. It's just that's not the Jesus Christ of the Bible. It's just as simple as that.
No, it's a sad thing when you see the amount, you know, the amount of it. It's just astounding.
Amen. Well, Jesus Christ himself said, or when his apostles asked him, he said, so are there just a few that are going to be saved? And he basically said, yeah, just a few. You know, that's basically was the answer. You know, wide is the, you know, broad is the way that leads to destruction, and narrow is the gate, and so, and few that find it. And so it's just how it is. That is the scriptures. That is, you know, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And we are seeing it. I think you give a good example of that. Brother, thank you for the phone call. You have a blessed
day. Have a good day.
You too.
Bye.
Well, that's the phone lines, folks. 307-745-5913. The program is Coffee with the Wranglers. And coming to you live this Saturday morning. And the topics, from here to there. We are seeing these... And you know, John, you mentioning these, you know, extra lunar activities and all that. It seems to me like it's just a continuation, you know, of what we saw last year, since the eclipse. The 1 year ending, the other year beginning. That's just on paper, 2017 to 2018. We know that's just on paper, and the solar year, of course, will begin. There about that third week of March, with the spring equinox, but I think we're just going to continue to be in this this change, this time of change, this time of hopefully a time of growth. With his people, but we sure are seeing these things we haven't seen before. It is exciting times.
Yeah, God continues to warn those that can to repent and turn from their wicked ways. We're seeing that more and more these days, but it's up to us to really buckle down and to dedicate the time that we need to prayer, to grow closer to the Lord, to seek the guidance and leading of the Holy Spirit, and to pray about the things that we're led to pray about. I know there's some difference of opinion in what's going on with our president. I don't just call him Trump, I call him President Trump. It irritates me when you see the left news organization just say Trump, 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 Trump. But all the time, Obamanation was in office. It was President Obamanation, or it was Mr. Obama. And there's no respect. But like I said, he's not a saint by no means. But God has raised him up as a warrior, I believe, as a Jehu. And he has definitely thrown Hillary Clinton down. And I think we just need to keep praying what we've been praying, that the things in the dark would be brought to the light and shouted from the rooftops. Just this week I was reading about Fusion GPS, and basically they just threw John McCain under the bus, that he was the one who originated that whole Fusion GPS fake dossier, and looks like his chickens are coming home to roost too. So you do reap what you sow, and if God's people are righteous, if God's people humble themselves and pray and seek his face and turn from their wicked ways, then his word is clear, and he will heal the nation. And I think we're starting to see a little bit of that healing. That doesn't mean that we're going to be delivered. Depends upon his people. Are Amen. They really willing to turn back to him? Are they really willing to put aside their own selfish wills, wants, and desires, not their needs, but their wills, wants, and desires, and to be obedient? We've said for years now that the key to this whole thing is obedience. God says he will punish their disobedience when our obedience is complete. So that's the sanctification part of it. And I'm not there. I'm working towards it, and I hope you are too. But part of that is reading the Bible. Part of that is hitting your knees. Part of that is spreading the gospel whenever you get the chance. All of those things are not extras. They are what are is expected. They are
what is expected of us if we call ourselves a follower of Jesus Christ.
Amen to that. And we are to be, you know, something that has really, the meaning has expanded out in my life over the last, over the past, well, I'll just say years, is that we are to be doers of the word and not hearers only. And that doers of the word, that's a little word, doers, but that encompasses so much. And how are you going to be a doer of the word if you're not in the word? If you're not asking, if you're not praying for wisdom and discernment, if you're not praying for direction from God, if you're not studying to show yourself approved, if you're not using that concordance that Jason brought up, where else does it say this? Where else does it, talk about this, either this concept or this word or whatever? And you can't be a doer without being a reader, without reading the word, without understanding it. You can't, and we're told to be doers. And being a doer of the word should, if we are doers of the word, we should run in contrast to the ways of the world. Does that make sense? Because the world hates Christ. It still does. It hates his name. It hates his way. It hates his followers. It always has. And so, as being doers of the word, we should have a little conflict. We should see that is different than what the world is doing, and just even different thought process of how the world and the people of the world think. I think we've probably all had people say, you know, when we go to do something that maybe being led by the Holy Spirit, or we've read it in the Word to do this or that, and we do it, and we probably have all had friends or people say, well, why in the world would you do that? You know, why would you do that? Because it seems strange to those that are outside of the Word. But it's part of being a part of being a true Christian. The term you use, John, that true follower of Jesus Christ, is that we are to be doers.
Yeah, kicking around what to bring for a message. We didn't have live church last week, so I think this week's probably the opening New Year's, at least the calendar New Year message. And there's something that's required in the Constitution for the United States President to give a State of the Union address in the beginning of the year, which should be coming up here shortly. But the thought occurred to me, and I think it was the Holy Spirit's leading to try to put a message together regarding the state of the church. And Lord willing, that's what tomorrow's message is going to be about, the state of the church.
Well, that sure sounds pretty interesting. Looking forward to that.
Yeah, pray for me. I'm putting it together. Most of it comes together about 4 o'clock in the morning on Sunday morning. For some reason.
Thank goodness for good coffee come Sunday morning, huh?
Yeah.
Amen to that.
One of the things that I saw that interesting, and talk about a scramble, as we were talking about California. While most of the Americans were busy preparing to celebrate the new year, gun owners in California were scrambling to lawfully purchase ammunition while they still could. Beginning January 1st, all ammunition sales were required to go through California licensed dealers or licensed ammunition vendors. And basically it was a 2016 law that was passed in 2016 and went into effect on January 1st and really prohibited, you can't bring ammunition into the state of California. You can't buy it when you're traveling and when you're on vacation. You can't have a friend or a relative bring it to you.
that is extremely highly illegal now. They put it in, they put new licensing requirements now. You have to be, now there's such thing as licensed ammunition vendors or licensed ammunition dealers. They you have to go to one of these dealers, one of these vendors, and purchase your ammunition. Every round is logged and accounted for. And boy, from what I understand, is that everything before the end of the year was gone, and prices were just absolutely outrageous.
Wow.
And, you know, I mean, that's one of the things that people need to realize is, and to think about too. It's like, you know, this is something that passed in 2016. You know, here we are in 2018; it's going into effect. How much of other stuff is out there like that?
Good point.
You know,
yeah,
and,
stuff of abomination. Yeah.
We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, I think it's very interesting that, you know, now when ammunition is readily available, you can go down to any gun show, you can buy it. Walmart shelves for,
yes,
you know, it's basically been the first time in years that you've been able to go in there and buy 22 ammo.
Mm-hmm.
And now that you can buy it, and it's everywhere, nobody's interested in buying it. No, now is the time to buy it and to have it and not try to get it when you can't get it. You know, American people think that's the way they think. They want what they can't have. When they can't get it, that's when they want it.
Yep.
It should be the other way around. That's what preparing is all about, is being able to get the things that you think you're going to need down the road, get it while you can get it, while you still can get it.
Yes. Amen to that.
So, I tell people, it's like, okay, yeah, now's the time to get it. Well, you know, and everybody's got this sense of security, and I understand that. Yes, it's great. But despite that, gun sales are still going up. Gun sales are going up. Prices are coming down. And a lot of people think, they have this idea. It's like, you know, it's like water. It's like food. It's like, you know, ammunition. We can always get that. We can always get it later. Well, there comes a point in time for people that, you know, there is, you know, you can't get it.
Yep. Better invite people to church. Got about 3 minutes.
Yep. Looking at the clock, folks, I like how Jason ended up the program today. It's be prepared, right? Be prepared. Think about tomorrow. Think about tomorrow, because guess what? Tomorrow's coming, and you better be ready. You better be ready, and you know you're going to be ready when there's no water, when you turn the spigot, when there's no lights, when you flip the switch. You're gonna be ready spiritually as well. You need to be. One of the ways that you can get ready spiritually is come to church. Don't forsake the fellowship in whatever ways or means it's presented. And we'll be having church service in the morning. We invite you to come with us, starting at 8:30 Mountain Time, 9:30 Central, 10:30 Eastern. You can join us at scripturesforamerica.org. Click on the live video stream or the audio stream if you just want to listen in and join us. And you heard John tell you what he thinks his message is going to be about tomorrow. So keep us all in prayer, and know that we keep you in prayer. And join us for fellowship, for some sound biblical teaching. There'll be a timeless pulpit truth message from our pastor. You can partake of communion and draw closer to God. So we encourage you to join us. Guys, thanks so much. And, hey, we'll see you at church tomorrow.
Rolling, rolling, rolling. Rolling, 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 Snake High.
Ha!
Ha! Keep rolling, 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 though this country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, Snake High. Fast and free together, make 'em hell's and forever. Knowing the king is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move 'em out, head 'em off, move 'em out, move 'em out, head 'em off, Snake High. Ride 'em out, ride 'em more, ride 'em more, ride 'em out.
proven, though they're disapproving. Keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our king will be waiting at the end of our ride.